to mind when we think about youth is, you know, youth are the future. And that is very true. But I actually really want to hone in today on what youth are now. Because I believe that, youth, we don't just invest in youth for the future. They're capable of so much now, and there is so much potential for what God can do in and with youth. I think, personally, I wasn't, some of you might even consider me youth now, but legally I wasn't a youth very long ago. The Holy Spirit definitely doesn't have a bias in terms of, who gets chosen to be moved through. A big example of that, when I was, 12 years old, as ago, Dad took me down to Caloundra for the conference, the National Vineyard Conference, and some of you may have heard of him. Robbie Dawkins was speaking there, and he did this whole thing on para-evangelism and, like, praying for healing. Lo and behold, by the end of one of the nights, I was off praying for healing people and seeing miracles in front of me, and it's, wow. But, I was 12, and the Holy Spirit moves through 12-year-olds. I think there's, youth can do things. And they also have a great capacity for understanding. For anyone who doesn't know, I'm currently taking up running the Friday night youth group that we have here. I'm night in, night out getting mind blown by some of the revelations that the youth are having and the things that they just seemingly understand and grasp. Well, that's pretty intense theology. But, youth have the ability to learn and understand. Was it 1 Timothy 4:12, the classic verse? Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. God laid out that the youth are important, and he wants to work with the youth and through the youth. Also, being that age, like 12 to 18, like scientifically, you're very, very impressionable. You take a lot in, and you're very moldable, very malleable. And that's awesome. That gives youth such a capacity to learn and a desire to learn and a desire to grow and, become more. It also puts youth at a very great risk because they're just as susceptible to bad input, if not more. So that's where we see a lot of young people kind of go a bit off the rails, as they say. I think that also comes down to just the importance of investing correctly in our youth because they are so, moldable in that time. What have I got next year? And I think a big part of that is most young people will never admit to this, but they really, really just want to be a part of something and a part of like a bigger cause, a greater meaning. And so they'll always be searching for that. And so that's where you get all the, young people off in the, bad places because they'll go off searching for greater meaning and they'll find it in all sorts of bad places. I used to be really into mountain biking back in the day. I was one of those rats on the Blair train. Going down and taking up all the space and being loud. I was one of them. One thing I really noticed, especially looking back, is that everyone who rode belonged to like a group. There was a group you rode with. And there was a lot of, like, people found a lot of identity in that. It was almost like mini gangs without any of the commitment or stuff. It was just a group of friends. You had your group and there was a lot of, identity found in that and a lot of meaning. Young people, all sorts, they just want to belong to something. And so I think for me, being a youth, belonging to Jesus, that's the highest meaning there is. And so, yeah, youth want to belong and they want to find that meaning. So if that's provided to them, they'll latch on, because they're at the stage of life where they're just trying to find that. There we are. And so one thing that can be difficult with youth, though, is they're all often about in the world. We don't see them. And I can bet you if you go off into the street and find the first teenager and go, "Hey, want to talk about Jesus?" They'd probably run. And that's, probably not the most child-safe way to go about it. So it can be hard to reach youth, and they're often out in the world, already had a lot of input from the world, from media, from friends, from teachers, parents, whatever. But what we have the incredible opportunity to do is to sow into the youth that we have in the church, the youth we have in our lives, cousins, friends, family, siblings, whoever. Youth have the ability to reach youth. Going back to youth have great capacity now, not for the future, they have capacity now and capability, and we can see that. A good example of that is Ruth. Everyone say, "Hey, Ruth." Ruth managed to get one of her really good mates along to youth group, who's not a Christian, or wasn't a Christian, and is now like regularly coming on her own accord, super keen, super invested, just wants to learn more, and it's awesome. Ability to have him heaps of questions about the Bible and just wants to know more. And all of that was from Ruth inviting one friend. And the ripple effect that could have in Ruth's friend as well to her friends there's just insane potential for domino effect when we invest in our youth. And I think that's why investing in, who we have close to us is so key. For them, Jesus doesn't want to be any less friends because you're younger. Young people have, just as much capacity to hang out with Jesus. And I think that's really important to nurture that while we're so impressionable and able to learn and able to take in information. And also just be really sensitive to, the spirit and emotions and, is that my time? I'm almost done. Where is it going? Yeah, so when I think about youth, yes, they are the future. They'll be around a while. But they are also here now. And I think it's important that we, love them now and show them Jesus' love now because they know what that is. I might pray for us. Oh, thank you, Lord. I just lift up all the youth here at Marion Vineyard to you, and we also lift up all the youth who don't know you. I pray that you would give us a fresh revelation to sow and to speak and to pray into the youth that we know, and to speak life. And also pray that your spirit would just come upon those who don't know you, and that your face would be revealed to them, whatever that may look like. I just pray protection over the youth that they're coming into such an impressionable age. Would you be their shield against the dangers and the misinputs of all the confusing world, And yeah, would you just truly be a rock in such a time of turmoil? You just now pray, amen.
Thanks, Josh. Josh and I had a lot in common one day. We were both mountain bikers. I kept getting broken bones, and so did Josh. Well, the youth have a lot. You know, we have a lot with youth, but it starts with us oldies. And we might think we can teach them things like mountain biking, but he was better than me anyway. All I saw is his dust. And but there's something happening around the world right now, and it is revival. And I'm a proud Australian of Jewish heritage, but I'm a proud Australian first. But in Israel right now, we know about the war. There's something going on that's quite good out of the bad. And out of the turmoils of war, the young men on both sides going into fight, those that are Jewish been praying to God and they've been to, had miracles. And 2 weeks ago, on the Gaza Strip, near the Egyptian border, in tents, a group of people were out there, I dare say, in pitch black, maybe some candlelight because there is electricity there in that strip at the end, that they looking up to the heavens and say, "Where are you, God?" They don't want to hear Allah Akbar anymore. And these are people my age. Our youth are being killed. We're being fed a lie. If God be real, show yourself. That was my cry when I was 12. They went to bed that night. The next morning, 200 woke up and gave their hearts to Jesus. Jesus appeared to them individually, separately. They didn't know each other necessarily, in dreams and visions. And they described the picture of Jesus as lightning, white as snow. And this comes from a man who used to be a PLO terrorist. He was a sniper for the PLO back in the 70s. He was Yasser Arafat's bodyguard. And he came to Jesus. And it's through his network now that these things are starting to take place. And he was on TV, on YouTube saying, you look on the CBN network, it's there, that when they are able to, they're going to go into Gaza and disciple them, baptize them, bring the good news to them fully. That's a wonderful story. But what about here in Australia? So I've been asked to talk about Matthew 9, the last part, where the harvest is plentiful and the labourers are few. In verse 35, it's really the beginning of it, as most categorise in the Bible, of that passage. And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. They were despondent and they didn't know what to do. They knew of God, but didn't know God. And like sheep, they are without a shepherd. So imagine sheep wandering around a paddock without a shepherd and bombs are going off. Turmoil in their life, they'll scatter and they will die. They'll be picked off by the predators. And this evil in this world and the new religion of the West is your truth, which is a lie. What is your truth? And this is big in Gen Z's. What is your truth? My son threw that to me the other day. It's your truth, Dad. And I said, no, Simon, it is God's word is truth. And I challenged him. I challenged him that you don't have any serious arguments. You just have throwaway lines. And the reason you have throwaway lines is because you're with the crowd. You're not separating yourself. And I said, you're better than that, Simon. You were raised in a Christian household. Could have been better? Absolutely. But the truth is, God is alive. When those Gazans were looking up in the stars and wondering, where are you, God? He answered to their heart's desire. And they begin a journey. Well, in Australia, there's a journey for us. And it's with Jesus, of course. We all know that. But we go on to read in verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, many would say, I'm going to pray for those laborers to go out. Why not be one of them? People will say, oh, that's all for the evangelists. How many evangelists were in the book of Acts? One. Philip was called the evangelist in Acts 21. How did the gospel go out besides Philip? They all had a story. They all had a wonderful story of Jesus coming to them alive, raised from the dead. They all had a wonderful story. Even the 500 that weren't at the day of Pentecost necessarily had a wonderful story that Jesus is alive as he showed himself to them after his resurrection. They all have a wonderful story of healing and provision, signs, wonders and miracles, as we do today. So I dare say, as those Palestinian Gazans, the Arabs there, despondent about Allah, and you've got to call a spade what a spade, a false prophet, a lying doctrine full of hate and death. They worship death. They want to be martyrs, die. That's what they tell the young boys and girls. Conversely, we worship life with Jesus Christ. We love to be led by Jesus Christ. So, the laborers are few. Yes, they are. Jesus only called 12 and one, well, he suicided over betrayal. But out of the 11, there was one. Yes, but there were many. As the word spread on the day of Pentecost, several thousand came to Christ. So let us have a different mindset. Let's change our mindset and take the truth to wherever we go. We don't have to go out in an organized fashion. But, you know, it might be a friend at school. It might be a gang of bikers with pedal power only. It might be, I'm at a meeting on the other day and I had all these design people for these new products that are going to market. And I told them all about there's a God. This came about by believing in Jesus. It might come about that you're out at groceries and you see someone down and out and you just lift them up and say, I got some good news. It might be that we've just seen some miracles here and we'll have revival anyway. It might be that one person comes to Christ because you've witnessed to them and the flow-on effect is multiplied time and time again. So that's the exciting news that we have with signs, wonders, and miracles. And be mindful of our new brothers and sisters in Gaza. Be mindful when you're praying that they find a way to know more about Jesus and may it spread faster than a bomb going off. And let us be mindful that in Israel, only 45% of the Jews actually believe in Judaism. Yet 70% say there is a God. Be mindful of them. And when we pray, be mindful in Australia that only 34%, the last statistics of the census says, that they believe in God, that are Christian. Pray for the other 66%. So, on that note, is there a fire in your belly? There isn't mine. It might wax and wane a bit, but when we pray, every day. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. For that's what Jesus was really saying. Go out, laborers, go out. With every inch of power and the words I've given you, I give to you to do and do likewise. For you will do greater things than me, he said. So think about those things. Pray about those things. Read, open the word where Jesus gets stuck into us, you might say, with good news, not with bad. Because there's so many troubled people. Who's met someone this week with troubles? Put your hand up. Right. Who's met someone this week with no troubles? Thought so. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Father God, we just thank you that truly you are a living God. And wherever we are in the world, there are you. Your words of life and your character is on display through us. So, dear Lord, just strengthen us in the name of Jesus. Let us be a guiding light to those that truly are there in the name of Jesus to grow, to be nurtured. And, dear Lord, send angels, send protection to those in war-torn countries. And, dear Father God, to bring hope to those that are there in Jesus' name.
I invite you all to stand as we get into our next worship set.